at the wounding of the serpent in Psalm 74:13. Well, let's start at 12. For God is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gave him as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Now, Leviathan is a large sea creature, it says in here, who is an unknown identity at that time. Maybe it's a mythical type. Maybe not. It's also referred to in Isaiah 27:1. In that day, the Lord with his great severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, that twisted serpent. And he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. This is the sea dragon. This is a type of spirit that operates, and it's I believe it indicates by spiritual application what we have operating in order to control the world economically and to bring it into control of the beast system. The beast, it says, is through the law of the sea treaties. It's a deception that is out of order. And it's from Revelation 13, this beast that comes on the sea and has also 10 horns and 7 heads. And he's a blasphemous. And the dragon gives authority to this beast. Now, and then it continues for 42 months. And this particular beast is a sea beast. And through the law of the sea treaties, through piracy, and let me tell you about just briefly the law of the sea treaties, came out of the Barbary pirates during the 16th century, but there was a lot of pirating, 1600s, 1700s, in the seas. And when the armadas were going, the English, the Spanish, and the English, and the Dutch, and the British East Indies companies, all these, they were great shipping magnates, and pirates would come and raid the ships, and they would try to come into port, and they couldn't because they had illegal contraband, booty, the thefts they had stolen, and therefore they made treaties with certain noblemen to port and sell their items on the dock, and these became the law of the sea treaties. And now you have all these ports that are no longer under sovereign jurisdiction. They're under the law of the sea. And so the waters are controlled by another entity, and they tie into the United Nations in New York. So then you will see United Nations flags flying over the major ports of the world. This is Leviathan. This is the spirit that happens to be operating behind this sea monster. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart and wounded the serpent? Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? This it refers to the children of Israel coming out from Egypt, being chased by Pharaoh, and the Red Sea was dried up so they could cross through. So the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing and everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And this alludes to the spiritual deliverance from the house of bondage, Egypt, Babylon, Rahab, the world system about coming out and being separate and becoming dependent completely on the Lord and his principles and statute and looking for his provision. He is the Lord, the creator of all the earth. And it is his arm that cuts off Rahab, and it is his arm that provides. I am he, this is the Lord speaking, who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die, and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? And you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. When he has prepared to destroy, and where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fail. Okay, so here, the captives of the system, this oppressive system, who does not regard the laws of God, they try to run so that they can get away, and they don't want to die in some salt pit or salt mine or slave trade somewhere, and that they will have enough provision, bread. But I am the Lord your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth. And I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. And who are you, Zion? Who is Zion? It's clearly stated in Hebrews 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. This tells you where Mount Zion is and what it is and who is composed of that company. Let's break it down. Mount Zion is the city of the living God. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. It's a company of angels without number. It's the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. It's God's dwelling place, who is the judge of all, and the spirits of just men, the judge of all, who's made the spirits of just men perfect. And who's there also? Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, or the covenant really ordained from the foundations of the earth, and to the blood of sprinkling, where the life is in the blood. And it speaks of better things than Abel, because Abel cried out for revenge, and Jesus cries out for mercy and for life for those who are written in his book. This is that. This is Zion. And we are part of that Zion that's planted in the heavens, that laid the foundations of the earth. So see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he is promising, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, it's eternal, it's immovable, it's the rock from which we are hewn out of. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And this alludes to the passage that as in the days of Noah, the earth was destroyed by flood, but it would no longer be destroyed by flood, but at the return of the Lord, it would be destroyed once again in 1 Peter by fire. And our God is a consuming fire and will consume, as I started out in Malachi, he will consume and purge the iniquity of the sons of Levi. Now, in Isaiah 51, the next section, 17 through 23, discusses how God's fury, his wrath against iniquity, will play out. Let's look at that. This is God's fury, how God purges the iniquity out, how he deals with the earth, the dealings of the Lord. Isaiah 51, 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk at the hand of the Lord. And when we began this, remember out of Jeremiah, we were talking about the destruction God was going to bring, and Malachi, the purging through the crucible and the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap to cleanse the sons of Levi. You who have drunk at the hand of the Lord. This is God's rebellious people. These are those who have gone off into spiritual idolatry and harlotry. You who have drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. You have drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling. And this cup was the one that Jesus, our Savior, drank in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was the cup of suffering to go on the cross to take our cup of trembling, the cup of the fury of the Lord. Jesus took and nailed to the cross. And by his blood, we are redeemed. If we appropriate that work in our lives through repentance to turn away from all this wickedness. Can the leper turn? Can you turn? That's the only kind of change that God wants, is you to turn away from your own ways and your idolatry and your own wickedness and the ways of the serpents and drained it out. There's no one to guide her among all the sons she has brought forth. Nor is there any who takes her by the hand among all the sons she has brought up. These two things have come to you. Who will be sorry for you? Desolation and destruction, famine and sword. By whom will I comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They light the head of all the streets like an antelope in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of your God. Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. Thus says your Lord, the Lord and your God, who pleads the cause of his people. See, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it. But I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you, who has said to you, lie down that we may walk over you. And you have laid your body like the ground and as a street for those who walk over. The doormats, the streets, they walked all over you. But they will receive the same cup of affliction, the same cup of fury from the Lord God Almighty. The only way out of drinking that cup is to have your sins remitted. To have the sins, your sins that are rightfully accounted to your account of actions and speeches and voices, the things that you've said and done. John 20, 21 through 23. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So this is about forgiveness. And Jesus said, you know, forgive them, just as your Father in heaven forgives you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And Lord, forgive the blood guiltiness on the land and by the peoples who have come Why? So that we can understand that the Lord says in Ephesians 1:4, God chooses us just as he chose us in him. Who? In him who? Jesus. Before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We're the Father's children. In him we have the redemption through his blood. His blood takes the wrath of our guilt, the forgiveness of sins, it says. That's the redemption by his blood. Our sins are forgiven according to the riches of his grace, which he had made to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Okay, now we're going to see what the mystery of God's will is. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. So we're going to be gathered all together by the Spirit, one things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth in him. And what is that? That is the unshakable rock from which we are hewn. That is that which is eternal and will not be shaken or burned up. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now in him you also need to trust, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. This is the mystery of the gospel, that our eyes would be unveiled so that we could understand this mystery. And this mystery is that God through his goodness, would grant us the gift of repentance that we might have out of God's goodness, that we understand that God will give us eternal life, because it says in Romans that God will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life, to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. And this is the definition. And this is the clear kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, to whom which God will grant you through his mercy, called you into light, called you through his mercy into repentance, into the God of all lights. Do no longer be like the world and walk in darkness, but come into his great light, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, and through his work, the mystery of his work, that he died for your unrighteousness, he took the cup of your wrath, that you might have eternal life in him. And there is no other door and no other name given under heaven by which you might be saved. Today, if you hear this by chance or however or whenever or wherever, receive forgiveness for your sins. through Jesus and the cup of judgment that he drank for you. For all things are coming back into Christ. And he wants you to come into him and the fullness of him. God bless you richly. In Jesus' name.